2 Timothy chapter number 1. Several weeks ago, we began a series of messages out of 2 Timothy that we're going to go through. I've entitled this series, Last Words, Last Days. Here, these are the last words of Timothy, of Paul written to Timothy. And in this passage or in this book, he also mentions the last days. Describes them for us in chapter number 3. And so we looked at that very first message, an introduction to Timothy, 2 Timothy on that last Sunday of June, and then we had one message in the month of July. We've had lots of missionaries catching up with us. We had them scheduled in the throughout the spring, and we had to postpone them, and so a lot of them got caught back up with us during July. And I think we have a missionary next Sunday night as well. Brother Snowd will be with us. Looking forward to having him here. So we've only gotten to two messages, but the last message we did preach was the first five verses out of 2 Timothy. And we talked about a foundation for a strong finish. And of course, Paul is writing this from prison, and he's on death row. He's going to be dying. And I find it interesting, he speaks of life while he's getting ready to die. In verse number 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So I gave you three thoughts that evening on a foundation or things that are needed if you're going to finish strong. And first of all, it's a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. If you want to finish strong, you better be saved. And then we need to have life-changing relationships with other believers. We saw in verses 2 through 5, Paul had a very close relationship with Timothy and then with Timothy's grandmother and mother. And of course, we looked into all the relationships that Paul had with different various believers. And what an important aspect. If we're going to make it in these last days, we need each other as well. We need the Lord, but we need to be there for each other. We need to be true friends, true brothers and sisters for Christ. I'm sure many of you could say that you're some of your closest relationships are found within the body of Christ. And that's the way it should be for a believer. Your closest friends ought to be other believers. And then, finally, we need a life-changing service for the Lord, found in verse number 3. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. And so, service. And that's where we're going to continue our thoughts this evening. I'm going to look at verse 6 and 7 this evening, so if you will, read that with me. Well, first of all, I'd like you to read the theme verses that I've chosen for this. Let's look at chapter 4 and look at verses 6 through 8. Paul says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And our text for this evening is verse 6 and 7 of chapter 1. Paul says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. This evening I'd like to speak to you about stirred to serve. We need to be stirred once again to serve the Lord. What do you think of when I use the word potential? Or perhaps this phrase, potential never realized. I think my mind typically goes to athletics, sports. I can think of individuals, whether it was someone that I knew personally through my growing up years or athletes that were in college or in professional sports that never really did reach their fullest potential. They had it all. They had the abilities, but they never were able to completely realize all that they could be. Perhaps they lost it because of drugs, alcohol, no discipline. Or perhaps they just didn't want to put the work in, although they had the abilities. And although that could be frustrating in the world of sports, if it was one of your favorite teams or favorite players, it's frustrating in that aspect. But I want to say this evening, it's heartbreaking when it's in the aspect of Christianity. Potential that is never reached. The potential that we have and in our Christian life, and we never reach what God would really want us to accomplish. Now, I doubt this is true at Heritage, as I'm still getting to know this church family, but in many churches this is the case. And you've probably heard this before, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work within the church body. And if that is true here, and if it is true in other churches, why is that the case? Let me just give you a few ideas this evening on what could be the problem. Some Christians are just not very committed to their Christianity. They have other interests, other desires that supersede their time and their commitment to church. What a sad thing that is, isn't it? That something else would be more important than our service for the Lord and our ministry for the Lord. And that ought to be a very convicting thought for us this evening, that we could evaluate ourselves. And if we could order in our life and be honest tonight, what is the highest priority in my life? Who has the highest priority in my life? That ought to be a convicting thing for us. And again, potential not reached. Never reached, because I just do not have the right priorities. I have seen this happen. Some have tried to serve, and basically they were sabotaged because they had no training, no guidance, no support, no direction, and they grew frustrated with their efforts, and just literally just, I can't do this, and they quit. And again, that's a sad situation. Some have tried, and then they have faced criticism from brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we often are we wound so many of our own people, don't we? We're just not careful, and we say things without thinking. We say things without realizing the impact that they could have upon somebody, and we're critical of someone, but in their effort to try to serve the Lord, instead of maybe coming to help, we just criticize, and people become discouraged from that, and they quit. I have certainly seen this aspect where someone serves too much, and you say, how is that possible? They're too spread out, and they burn out, or perhaps they had the wrong motivation. When we read these verses this evening, I think we can see Paul seems to be challenging Timothy to a rededication or a renewal in his service for the Lord. Again, notice what he says there. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Something in his life has settled. It's not stirred the way, it's not shaken the way it should be. So what's happened in Timothy's life that Paul recognizes this and he reaches out to his young protege? In Acts chapter 20, Paul had been speaking to the church at Ephesus when he was there in Ephesus, and he was talking to them, and he predicted that when he would depart, wolves or false teachers would enter in, and then he also spoke about those within the congregation would rise up in rebellion. He just anticipated that it would happen, that there would be false teachers and there would be those within the church that would try to rise up and grab some type of position. And apparently that happened because later, while Paul was traveling, he left Timothy in Ephesus to try to overcome these things and to teach against these things. Look back to the 1 Timothy with me to chapter number 1. Verse number 3, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So Paul told Timothy, I left you there to teach and to preach and to get a charge against those that are preaching false doctrines and false fables that are causing problems. Paul left Timothy there to deal with these issues, much like he left Titus in Crete or sent Titus to Crete where he could deal with the problems there in the churches of Crete. This was Timothy's charge. Now, when Paul writes this second letter to Timothy, Timothy is no longer the pastor at Ephesus. A man named Tychicus, mentioned in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse number 12, has been sent to Ephesus to lead that congregation and to work there. So it appears Timothy has left that ministry, and he is now involved in some type of traveling evangelistic work, but Paul notices that something has settled in this man's life. And he's charging him, he's challenging him to be stirred up once again. We also know that Timothy had some physical struggles. Back in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, you remember the verse there where Paul tells Timothy to go ahead and take a little wine for thy stomach's sake? You know what I'm talking about there? That's a favorite verse of a lot of people. Oh, Paul is given the endorsement for wine. Well, I mean, it's for medicinal purposes here. Timothy had an upset belly, and many believe because of the stress that he was going through, he was experiencing ulcers. He was tore up. This was something that had wore heavy on him, and it was affecting him physically. And Paul says, receive some of this, take some of this for your health's sake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writes to the church of Corinth in verse number 10, and he says this, he says, now, hey, if Timothy shows up, Timotheus shows up, be kind to him. He gives her the idea that Timothy had a demeanor that was damaged and hurt. Of course, in 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul told Timothy to let no man despise thy youth. Take advantage of your youth. And it just appears that Timothy maybe had a difficult time in the ministry. Is someone that struggled and maybe was taken advantage of at different points of his life. And perhaps he is discouraged and distraught and does not know if he's going to stay in the ministry. And so Paul writes him and says, Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. Now, it's unfortunate that those type of things happen within the body of Christ. You remember that little thing we used to do as kids? We put our fingers together like that and we would make the... Remember this thing? We say, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and remember that? What does it say? See all the problems, right? Now listen, people equal problems. And I include myself in that. I'm a people and I'm a problem sometimes. We're problems. We have difficulties. We have problems. We don't always handle things the right way. And that can cause discouragement, it can cause backsliding, and we could be the effect on somebody else that causes them to feel this way. Now, Paul writes to encourage Timothy, to keep him in the fight. And in verse 6 and 7 tonight, I want to look at a few things that I believe Paul is encouraging Timothy about. First of all, in verse number 6, Paul speaks about the gift of God that God had placed, or that was placed within Timothy. And then in verse number 7, Paul speaks about what God had not given Timothy. So let's look at what God had first given him in verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. This gift of God, I believe what is being referenced here are the spiritual gifts that are imparted to every believer by the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say that, this is not some type of mystical, magical powers. This is not some type of an oddity in our lives or powers that we're given in a wrong way. Nor is it speaking about apostolic gifts. You know, those gifts that were placed upon those early church leaders where they were able to do the things such as speaking in tongues or healing of people and those various things. Those things have all passed away, but what he's speaking of here are those spiritual gifts that every one of us has been blessed with at least one of those and probably more than one of those. God has imparted those on us, and Paul is reminding Timothy, listen, you've been gifted. God has placed some gifts upon you and in you, and you need to stir those up. Paul gives a listing of those gifts in the book of Romans chapter 12. You can look at them later. I'll go over them. You can read about them later in verses 6 through 8 of Romans chapter 12. But he mentions seven things in that passage of Scripture. The first thing he mentions is the gift of prophecy. Now, when you hear that, your mind might automatically go to that Old Testament prophet, someone like Jeremiah or Hosea, that foretold some type of an event. We're looking into the future. But the prophet's primary role was one that was a forth-teller. God gave them a message, and they gave that message. They said, "Thus saith the Lord." And so what they were a proclaimer of God's word. They were someone that would declare the word of God. And so in our age, we would say that this prophet, this one, is not, again, not someone that's predicting future events, but is forth-telling God's word. It's a preacher. Someone that God has blessed with the ability to proclaim God's word, to come up in front of people and to say, listen, this is what God's word says, and to explain it and to preach it with passion and with desire for this to be a change in one's life. God has blessed certain individuals in that fashion. They don't have to be a full-time pastor or a preacher. They could be someone within the church. We've got junior church workers, and I hope and I pray that our men are proclaiming the word of God to those individuals. God has given them that gift. We have men that come and speak in our men's prayer meeting on Saturday mornings, and they proclaim God's word. God's given them a gift, and they need to use that gift. He also goes over in Romans 12 about the gift of ministry, or also known as the gift of helps. This is someone with a gift that has a desire to help and serve someone else, often behind the scenes without recognition. They don't have to be recognized at all. They're just happy to be serving the Lord, don't want to be noticed, don't want to be known about, just want to serve their Lord. What a wonderful gift those people are for a pastor in a church. I've been blessed in my years of pastoring to have several folks like that. They just love to serve the Lord behind the scenes and take care of things before I even knew about it, find out about it. What a blessing that is. Amen. Gift of prophecy, ministry. There's a third gift mentioned there in Romans 12 of teaching. Someone with this gift desires to study and properly interpret the Word of God and then to communicate it effectively to those they interact with. They love to study God's word. They dig deep and they work hard. And then what they receive, they're able to communicate it in an effective manner to be a blessing to those they interact with. A fourth gift mentioned is exhortation. Someone with this gift is able to encourage and lift up others. It could be through a word, through a card, through a deed. Sometimes it's just simply coming behind someone and squeezing their neck. That's enough that they know that they're there for me. Encouragement. An exhorter. Someone that lifts somebody else up. A fifth gift that is mentioned is the gift of giving. It's the ability to give to God's work and God's people. These people are generous, but not necessarily rich. In fact, there are people that are poor that have the gift of giving. And again, it's just a desire to help God's work and God's people. The gift of ruling, someone with this gift is able to administer, manage, and lead. And then the gift of mercy. And these people have the ability to feel and carry the hurt and burdens of others. They're gifted to know what to say, and I like this definition that I read, and when not to say anything at all, just to be there for someone. I remember years ago, I was at I went to visit someone in the hospital. And as I got there, there was several folks in the room already from the church. And they were just there. And I said, "Hey, what's going on? Are you guys here?" "Oh, we just came to sit with them and to try to be a blessing." They weren't there discussing. They were just there in that family. That individual knew there were some people that loved them and cared about them. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. Now listen, we went over those very quickly and didn't give a lot of details. But if you're saved tonight, you have one of those gifts, at least one of them. You have them. And as Paul said to Timothy, you need to stir up that gift. There's some of us that need to get stirred up. You've got it within you. God's placed it in there. You have the potential. We just need to get it shaken up a little again. We need to get that stirred up. Paul doesn't mention the particular gifts that Timothy had, but he does say that it needs to be stirred. It needs to be stirred and disturbed. To not use the gifts that God has given to you is to not realize our spiritual potential. As I said, just as Paul is trying to rally Timothy, I trust tonight that the Holy Spirit will shake us up a bit and we'll be burdened about our gifts and how we're using them or not using them for the Lord. Verse number 6, he speaks of this gift. But in verse number 7, notice, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Again, we know Timothy was somewhat timid. Perhaps even someone described him as maybe in a natural sense very cowardly or not wanting to confront things. And so Paul reminds him, listen, that spirit that you have of fear is not from God. God's not placed that within you. In fact, we could even have a natural slant towards that, but it could be overcome through God. God could give us the ability to overcome that natural fear. And he's given us the power of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does he mean by this? When we think of this word power, in place of fear, he's given us power. Remember in Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." He goes on to speak about how we'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. But again, what I would like us to recognize here is through the Holy Spirit, he's given us a power. He's given us a strength, an ability. We're able to accomplish what God has called us to do. Paul was encouraging him, listen, you are able to do this. Perhaps Timothy felt like, I have failed, I can't accomplish this. And Paul says, yes, you can, because God's given you the power to do this. Years ago, when I pastored a church in Pennsylvania, we sent a group down to Mexico to have a missions trip with one of our missionaries. And they were a good Baptist church. We knew that because they had an old van that broke down everywhere they took it. All right? And that's what they were driving around that week, and it broke down constantly. And so what would happen, they'd have to push it off to the side of the road. The missionary knew what to do. And so on one of these trips, they were in a part of the road where they had to push it a pretty far distance, and it was going down a hill, but they had to get it back up another hill. And so these three guys from our church are out there pushing as hard as they can, running down the hill. And another car passed them, and it was a Spanish family, obviously, and they rolled down the window, and they said something to them in Spanish, and they were clapping and doing all kinds of stuff like this. And so when they got back in the van, they're huffing and puffing. They said, "By the way, what were those folks saying to us?" And they said, "You can do it! You can do it!" And I feel like that's what Paul's doing to Timothy here. You can do this. Not because of anything you are, Timothy, but because the Holy Spirit has given you the power, the strength, and the ability. Listen, if God's called you or I to a task, he's also given us the power to accomplish that task. He says he's given you power, and then he speaks here of love. He says, but of power and of love. And this love here is also given to us by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Galatians chapter 5, we have a list of the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. And what's that very first one listed there in the book, in verse 22? It's love. It's a result of the Holy Spirit. Now think of this. Love is seeking the highest good of others. It's not based on emotions or feelings. It's not based on what they have done for us or towards us. It's a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. That's not natural love, that's spiritual love. That's not something that you can muster up within ourselves and maintain, but it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that he places within us and we're able to do. Even when someone does us wrong, Even when someone takes advantage of us, we can still love them. Paul reminds them, he's given you power and ability. He's given you love. And then it says here, he's given him a sound mind. The idea of a sound mind is one of discipline or self-control. It would be compatible to the meaning of the word temperance, which again is listed as the last fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. This is what the Spirit of God places within us, this sound mind, a disciplined mind, a self-controlled mind. Self-control in doing God's will and not living for self. It's not about me. It's not about, and I think Kaylin said that this evening here, it wasn't about me, but what God wants in our lives. And that's a sound, disciplined, self-controlled mind. Paul's reminding Timothy, listen, you may want to step out. You may want to quit, but that's not what God wants. That's not what you need to do. And you need to get your focus off of yourself and back onto what God's will is in your life. And so Paul gives him a good spiritual, hearty chewing out, doesn't he? And sometimes that's what we need. We need someone to come to us in love and just kind of give us what we need to hear. And he gets that. He's reminding Timothy he did not need any new gifts. He just needed the gifts that he had to be stirred up. And God had given him what he needs. Just get it shaken back up. Now, as I began this series of messages, and in my mind, I think there was a lot of this, what I wanted to learn is about these, you know, as I mentioned, those introduction messages that were, many people think we're in the last days. And I would agree. I gave you the definition of the last days, and that was from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, and we're currently in that, but some have said we're in the last of the last days. We're getting close, we believe. And that could be true. But we see the way things are turning and we see how our nation and our world is going a direction and things are maybe getting more difficult. And if you're like me, I see that and it can be alarming, right? It can be scary. It can be worrisome. But oftentimes it's worrisome to me because I don't like things that are difficult. I like my life to be easy. I like my life to have some comforts. And I think about it, I say, wow, could those things change in my life? And they certainly could. But what the Lord's convicted me about, especially in study for this message, is that as I can often be self-centered and wonder about my well-being and my comfort, especially in these last days, I realize that's a spirit of fear. That's fearful, and that does not come from God. God doesn't give me that. That's something that I'm mustering up. That's something that's coming from within my flesh. God's given me power and love and a sound mind. And so what I've asked the Lord to help me as I was praying about this and considering this in myself, I've asked God that He would help me in these last days that we're living in to look at them as an opportunity to use the gifts that He's blessed me with to make an impact on somebody's life, to make a difference in somebody's life, to come alongside somebody and be a help and be an encouragement, tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, help them to grow in their faith in the Lord, whatever the case might be. But I want to be convicted and drawn to that, not this spirit of fear, but this spirit of, hey, I'm going to use the power that God's given me, the ability that God's given me, the love that God has given me, this sound mind that God has given me, and I want to use it for His honor and His glory. And so this evening, I want to ask you, will you join me in that? Will you join me and ask the Lord to work in your heart? Lord, here we are in these last days. Would you help me to use the gifts that you've given me and to not let the fear of this life or this world overwhelm me, and I would live with a life of power, love, and a sound mind. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this evening? We'll have a word of prayer and an opportunity to respond to the Lord as He's worked in your heart this evening. Father, I pray now as we wrap these thoughts up, Lord, and we're asking you, Lord, to have your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts this evening. And then, Lord, for us to be obedient to how you work in our heart. Lord, to respond, Lord, as you would lead us. If that's there at our pew, just to bow our hearts, or even to bow our knee at our pew, or to come to this altar this evening. Perhaps you're even convicting us about a specific task, a specific person, a specific ministry. Lord, perhaps you've touched someone's heart because they recognize they're really not using their gifts for your honor and glory. They're more self-centered. It's about them. Lord, I pray that you would convict as only you can do. And then, Lord, that we would be obedient. So, Lord, take this invitation, these few moments, and help us to respond as we should in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as the piano plays, if the Lord spoke to your heart, this is an opportunity for you to respond.